Blog Talk Radio.
Very good Sunday, everyone. Halloween is the topic of discussion today on At Home with Victoria. If you are out there and you like Halloween and you're thinking about having a Halloween party, today's show is for you. In a few minutes, we are going to have a guest join us. Mary McCarthy is her name, and she is an author. She's a blogger. And also, I hear that she is a fantastic mom as well. But Mary's going to join us today because she has a book out, and I'm looking at the book right now as I speak with you on the internet. And the book, it's called Adult Halloween Parties, and it is on paperback. You can buy it right now, in fact, on Amazon for $10.99. So it's a very inexpensive book, and they do have it in stock. So she's going to join us shortly. And Mary's going to tell us a little bit about her book and why is it that she likes Halloween as well as all of the other fun things that she's going to talk about. She has a site called Pajamas and Coffee where she blogs on there and talks about her family, and she's got a beautiful Victorian house. And you have to see this house because during this time of the year, hence Halloween, she just transforms the house into just this beautiful haunted house, and it looks pretty cool. So if you go on to our website, then I will you will actually see all of her websites and her blog information on there. And when you click on any of those, you should be able to see that Victorian house that I'm talking about. But I came up with this idea of wanting to do a show on Halloween because Halloween parties are actually pretty big. I know there is a segment of the population out there that basically reserve Halloween parties just for kids, but Halloween no longer do I think is just for kids. Grown-ups of all ages love to get their spook on and scare things and people and put costumes on and things of that sort. So again, today we're going to talk about whether you're hosting a Halloween party, you know, different types of themes that you can do, whether you want sort of a Frightening 50 themes, if you want just, you know, any type of theme, costume themes and how to decorate for the party and all of those things, which is what she's going to be able to talk to us and tell us about today. A couple of other things that we have coming up I'll share with you a little bit later on, but it looks like Mary is on the line, so let's go ahead and see if she's there and joining us. Hi, Mary, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, darling, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am very good. So before you came on, I was telling everybody a little bit about your book, and I'm so impressed, and I have to tell you, I just looked at it on Amazon. One thing that I love about it, it's 68 pages, and it's very easy reading, and great, great ideas you have there.
Well, thanks. I've been doing the adult Halloween party thing for about a decade now. So I had written a series of articles on Halloween party planning, and I basically just pulled together some of the ideas from the articles so that and put them into a book so people could have an easy way. It's written in a very casual tone,
mm-hmm.
And just sort of, you know, user-friendly for people to be able to get some tips and ideas. And then I have tons of emails from every day from people just looking for different ideas for their Halloween party.
Well, tell me how it is. So as a kid, did you like Halloween, or was that something that you kind of got into as you aged?
No, I was really into Halloween when I was a little kid. It's always been my favorite holiday. And look, trick-or-treating, I grew up in an apartment complex, and
mm-hmm.
trick-or-treating was just really the most fun, you know, time of the year for us. And, you know, I remember the lady who would give out the full-size candy bars, and she would hold a silver tray out.
All of us
do. Yeah, and she would let us pick the full-size candy bar. And so I continue that wonderful tradition today. And I have 300 trick-or-treaters, and, you know, I always have all the best brands of candy. 300? Yes.
Are you serious? My goodness.
I'm serious.
well, then you probably have to start buying your candy before regular folks like me get into the box stores and start buying it. Is that something that you start to budget for? Because 300 kids, that's a lot of kids and candy.
I know. It is a lot of kids. But you know what? The full-size candy bars that come in like a 30-pack, when you think about the price of that, and I usually get that for, you know, $10 or under $10 or something, versus buying little bags of candy.
Sure.
Because if you give a handful of little bars of candy out, you can spend a fortune on those little candy bars.
Really?
When you have that many trick-or-treaters, it actually isn't too much more expensive to just go ahead and get the full-size candy bars.
Regular size.
And the kids like it, you know, just 1,000 times more.
Right. And you know what, I remember this last year on Facebook. I remember writing sort of my status update saying that, you know, I think I purchased the candy too soon because I started eating the candy before Halloween came. So by the time Halloween came around, I swear to God, there were so many wrappers around my house of different types of candy that I had to go back to the store just to buy the candy. So I decided this year I'm not going to buy the candy until I get, you know, relatively close. I may have to spend a little bit more, but I'll eat the candy as opposed to leaving it there for the little kids that come by the house.
I'm with you. As soon as I saw the Halloween candy for sale in the store, I bought myself a bag of the little size 100 grand bars, because 100 grand bars are kind of scarce. I mean, it's like you see them around all year. And so when I saw the first Halloween candy display out, I grabbed myself a bag of 100 grand bars. And you figure if they're the little candy bars, they're not that many calories. I mean, I'm not buying the full size ones for myself,
right,
at least.
Right. Right, right, exactly. Yeah, it's not going to hurt you. Now, in terms of the getting back to the book and the article, so these were different articles that you had written, so you collected all of them and put it in the book. So tell us about some of the articles and some of the information that's in the book, like different types of themes that someone can have for a Halloween party.
Yeah, what I found people are looking for the most online, and I sort of started researching, you know, what the searches were that were related to Halloween in order to fine-tune, you know, my articles to what people were looking for. And it turns out what people are looking for most often are, like, recipe ideas for a Halloween party,
sure.
Halloween cocktails. So I've done a bunch of articles about types of food you can have at your Halloween party and cocktails and stuff like that. Themes are another cool thing. You can do the biggest thing this year is the 80s theme. I mean, because of Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett, and, you know, I think that
yeah.
The 80s costumes are just going crazy. I mean, that's the number one selling costume this year, of course, is the Michael Jackson costume. And so 80s theme parties were kind of already popular, but now this year they're really, really pop. That's a very popular theme.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I'm looking at the cover of your book right now. Who came up with the idea for the artwork? The boots on the cover, you know what they remind me of? The knee-high boots. It reminds me of Wonder Woman and the boots that she wore. And I used to love her costume.
And that actually is the Wonder Woman boots. And the idea for the book came from a photograph that was taken at my adult Halloween party last year. A bunch of my friends were standing around, and somebody, for one reason or another, was on the floor. I thought it sounds kind of funny, but took a picture from the floor of the legs of the people
uh-huh.
at the party. And so that was kind of one of the photographs I saw had been, you know, like Wonder Woman and Peter Pan and Dorothy, I think, are on the cover of my book, had been standing around. And so I just thought that perspective was kind of neat of how you can sort of tell what people's costumes are by what the footwear is that goes with the costume.
Well, and I have to tell you, and honestly, for all the listeners out there, this is the first time that we've actually spoken on the phone, so I had no idea that those were the Wonder Woman boots. That was the first thing that I thought of when I looked at the picture. I said, my goodness, those look like the Wonder Woman boots, because I always loved that costume. I could never fit into it, but
I actually shouldn't be fitting into it, but I wore it anyway a couple years ago because I was just obsessed with her as a kid, and she was just, you know, I mean, she was just the best, coolest woman that we had when we were in the 70s,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, you should check it out because the costume is very, you know, what I decided was I'll order the costume, and if it comes, and as long as the cape is sort of long enough, if you catch me, like if it was down below, exactly, and then the costume was, so I was like, okay. But that's actually a good tip for your listeners. If you buy a Halloween costume like that, like a Wonder Woman costume,
mm-hmm.
always buy the deluxe costume because it's worth the extra $10 or something. The fabric is 10 times better. It's just so much better made. So if you're looking for like a Dorothy costume or Wonder Woman, whatever it's going to be, and there's a deluxe version, it's definitely worth that upgrade because the regular standard grade costumes are so thin and kind of, you know, kind of cheap. So.
Well, and speaking of costumes, I did look at your website, Creative Halloween. Actually, I have that up right now on my computer. And, darling, I got to tell you that that face of yours that's made up for that one Halloween, I was like, oh my God! It's and guys, you have to go on her website and you'll actually see her on there. Actually, no, it wasn't. Was it on that website or was it on Pajamas and Coffee?
I think it's creativehalloween.net is my Halloween site, and I think it's me as the Evil Queen. Is that
yes?
And there's also a picture of my house on there.
Yes. The house looks. Oh my goodness! Now let's talk about the house. How long does it take you to get the house in that shape to look like that for Halloween? Because that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. I mean, I start getting pretty actively involved in getting ready for Halloween in August because the house is always up and decorated for October 1st. Mm-hmm. So kind of like getting – but actually, I start way before that because if I do an original – like if I do new window silhouettes, those have to be I have a friend who's an artist, and he sketches, you know, the outlines, and then we paint in them. It's painter's drop cloth is what is it. People, that's the number one question I get on my website on creativehalloween.net is people ask me, how do you do the window silhouettes? And it's really simple. It's just painter's drop cloth that you can get at any, really, dollar store or home a home improvement store. And painter's drop cloths are a two-layer thing. They're kind of like one layer of thin plastic and one layer of paper, and you actually paint on the paper side. And it would be overwhelming to me to try to draw. I couldn't draw something from scratch. So I have this friend of mine kind of sketch the ghost, and then we painted. What you do is paint the reverse, the black on sort of the outline so that the ghost then stands out. And then you light those from behind with, in the picture that's on the website, I used yellow light bulbs that are bug lights. But this year I used green light bulbs, and it gives the whole house a whole different look. It's like a green glow from inside the house, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I have to say it is pretty cool. In fact, we've got a couple of people in the chat room right now, Mary, although I don't think that's something that you can see. I have it on my computer screen. But Simone is visiting us today in the chat room. We've got a couple of guests in there, as well as Goofy, who is a radio show host here at Blog Talk as well. So I want to give a shout-out to everybody and just thank you guys for joining us this Sunday on At Home with Victoria. But they've been asking me about the site again, and that site that we've talked about is www.creativehalloween.net. And I also just put that site on, too, in the chat room. So, guys, as we talk with Mary, you really should go on there and take a look at the house. I'm looking at it right now because it looks great. And plus, you know what I really loved about it? How were you able to get that picture? Obviously, you waited for the sun to go down because that's a really good picture. Is that hard?
Yeah, I actually have a friend who is she's a photographer as a hobby. She's not a professional. But what she had been doing is actually coming out and taking a picture of my house on her own, and then before this happened, I hadn't even known her, and she basically, you know, came up to me one day and said, hey, I take this picture of your house every year because my kids love your house, and do you want me to send it to you? And I was like, absolutely. So she sent me the picture, and that's it, and she just did a phenomenal job. But yeah, she had to wait, you know, she had the tripod and all that, and I don't know
mm-hmm.
anything about that with the lighting and everything, but yeah, she had to wait until
it looked
a certain
cool.
time of
It almost looks like it's kind of obviously the sun has gone down, so it's sort of getting dark, but it looks like a little foggy in the background
right.
with the clouds, and it's very ominous and very scary looking. So I was like, my goodness, how in the world did Mary get that picture like that?
Well, really, the big thing, the architecture of my house, I mean, it was built in 1881, and it's a Second Empire Victorian, which is the exact style of house that you find in any representation of a haunted house. So
sure.
the Addams Family house, and you know, anytime you see a picture, a cartoon, or a drawing, or anything of a haunted house,
yeah.
it pretty much looks like our house.
you know what? Also, your house looks like now that you mentioned that, it looks a little bit like that Bates Motel on
yes.
the movie
Psycho.
yes, on Psycho, yes.
And I actually have a Bates Motel sign that says the vacancy part flickers that we sometimes hang out on when the trick-or-treaters come. Which is, and I put Mrs. Bates up in the window sometimes
uh-huh.
with a strobe light and stuff.
yeah.
Well, I'm a little bit obsessed.
I was going to say, it does not surprise me that you get 300 kids because, and our listeners will understand and folks in the chat room, because when you see the house, and you see her in the costume, I mean, you can easily see why 300 kids are going to show up at your house, because it really feels like, you know, the real thing looking at the pictures. Now,
definitely the full-size candy bars, though.
I was going to say, I'm going to show up at your house and get some candy.
Come on over.
So the book just came out this year, a couple of months
yes.
ago? Okay, a couple of months ago.
Yes.
Well, that's perfect, because you wanted it to come out right before Halloween. That would make sense, I guess.
Right.
And
it was basically just a way to try to help people who might be planning an adult Halloween party for the first time. Mm-hmm. And you can search, if you look on Amazon, it's under Adult Halloween Parties. That's the name of the book. And people, I was just trying to help people because they would send me, I get so much email from people asking for, I said, tips, ideas, recipes,
yeah.
decorating, kind of a little bit of everything. And so I was kind of trying to pull those together and help people out with a one-stop, you know, one-stop
okay.
shopping. Because adult Halloween parties have gotten popular.
I mean, it definitely looks like you did that because, again, you talk about spectacular decorations. You give tips on food, drinks, costumes, and beyond. So I would certainly say that you were able, that you achieved that in terms of touching on every single thing there is. You know, something that I know that's probably fun for you to write about would be the food and the drinks as well, to try to come up with the ideas for that, to make the food and drinks look kind of spooky.
Yeah, definitely. One of the most popular drinks at my party every year, and we have around 100 adults at our party, so it's you know, a lot of couples.
Mm-hmm.
The costume contest is absolutely the number one thing. There's definitely neighborhood bragging rights at stake here, as well as trophies. We have trophies for the prizes, and you know, it's like scariest, funniest, most original, best couple, best group.
Mm-hmm.
And so the voting and the costume contest side of it is really pretty competitive. It's a lot of fun.
Really? Now, tell me about the judges. Obviously, I'm assuming you're one of the judges. So how do you go about selecting the judges for this event?
We have everybody vote. Everybody at the party votes. So
it's
democracy.
Okay.
At our Halloween party, we try to have a democracy. And basically, we just have a big plastic pumpkin out, and then we have ballots. And everybody, you know, fills out the ballot of who they want to vote for in the different categories, and they put them in. And then I try to choose the most sober people that
right,
I can
right.
find to help me, you know, count them up and everything. And there's always a little bit of discretion that, like, I kind of have the final, because
okay.
what happens is people cross-vote in different categories. Like, someone might vote for someone as funniest and that other person as most original. So we try to count, like, the overall number of votes for each costume. Yeah, but the trophies are really fun, and it's a lot of fun. And as adults, we don't get to have...
What do the trophies look like? It's
a gold. It looks like an Oscar, but it's a skeleton, and he's holding his head.
How cute!
And so he's a trophy, and yeah, he's really a lot of fun. And so people have them on their mantles, like in their homes. It's like a very competitive. You know, if they've won a couple of them, they have kind of.
Take a picture. You've got to take a picture of that and some of the winners and put that on your site, because I know folks would love to see that.
Absolutely, I should do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, you really have to do that and put some of the winners on your site and have everyone see the trophy, because that right there in itself is just really, really cool. But yeah,
it is so much fun.
Yeah, it certainly seems like. And actually, this Halloween, when you get the winners, you've got to make arrangements to come back on the show again and maybe bring the winners on there to talk about it if you have time.
That'd be great. I mean,
yeah,
it's so much fun to see how much people put a lot of effort into their costumes. I mean, a couple years ago, some friends of ours came as, it was the year that Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, had died. And he did like a head-to-toe Steve Irwin costume with a mullet and like a stingray sticking out with the blood. And then she was a stingray. And, I mean, they made these costumes from scratch. I mean, people just really get into it. They really, really do. And so in the book, I did put a list of 100 costume ideas because I tried to pull together kind of what people have done over the years that have been successful. Last year we had the village people, and they were phenomenal. They were hilarious.
Did they dance?
And they sang. You know, we have karaoke, and they sang, you know, Macho Man and stuff. And it's a lot of fun.
I have to tell you, that party sounds like, yeah. I mean, if there were anyone out there to write a book like this, obviously, Mary, it certainly would be you, because just the way you're describing it, you know, in the show today, it certainly sounds like it's a lot of fun. Now, I did also wanted to mention or have you talk about, there was something on one, and she's got so many sites, everyone. So, and again, if you want to get to the site on her book on Amazon, Creative Halloween, her blog, which we'll talk about before we let her go as well, all of that information is on Blog Talk Radio on my page. So all you've got to do is go there, click on it. You'll find every single thing there. So don't worry about, you know, what are they talking about? Can I find it? That sort of thing. But anyway, I don't know which one it was, but it was something you were talking about going green for Halloween. So did you do some recycling or try to do something green this year?
You know, I did. I basically, as a result of just the economy and the recession, I just didn't have the money this year to really buy all new stuff for the house. And I think I'd kind of been obsessed for the last decade or so with having kind of all new stuff. I'm like, I've got to have the new stuff. And this year, and actually because of the economy, the Halloween industry responded by actually not putting out so much of the big, huge, you know, new stuff. So
yeah,
I said, well, let me just take what I have. I was like, let me use some of the things I have and rework them. So, I mean, I have a whole attic full of Halloween decorations. So I said, there's really no need for me to buy anymore. I might as well just take what I have and recycle it and reuse it. So I did that. Year. And I just, and people think I have new stuff because it's used different places.
Yeah. Well, and you know, getting back to your point about how the economy and everyone's cutting back in the recession, it is interesting to see that the industry also responded to that, like you said, because if you go to just any of your regular box stores, you know, looking for Halloween decorations and stuff, I've got to tell you, I didn't see anything new at all this year.
Yeah, everything's kind of toned down a little bit in response. I mean, they figure, they know that people aren't going to spend the money that they have in the past maybe. And that's the thing about Halloween, though. You can be so creative on a budget. And, you know, I wrote an article for one of the websites that I write for on Halloween on a budget and how to kind of use what you have and use inexpensive decorations. I mean, candlelight is probably the most effective way to decorate your home for Halloween inexpensively.
Okay.
Just turning off the electric lights. I mean, people always say, I don't have much money, you know, what's the one thing I can do? And I said, the one thing you can do is go to the dollar store and buy 100 bags of tea lights and just put them on the windowsills, put them in, you know, on tables and stuff, and just turn the lights off because it just changes the entire feeling of your house.
Feeling of the place, yeah. And also maybe, you know, to that end as well, just stick some kind of spooky music or something in the recorder or something, yeah. But
yeah,
no,
I'm really obsessed with Halloween music, and there's a group called Midnight Syndicate, and Midnight Syndicate does like a haunted organ music kind of, but it's a very cool background music. It's great for the trick-or-treaters, and I think they have like 10 different CDs out, but they're my favorite because I was definitely obsessed with finding like the right Halloween background music because I don't like the kind of screaming sound effects stuff. I wanted something a little more just spooky and laid back and something that would be good for the home.
Right. Now, I also mentioned to our listeners as well that you have a site on Facebook. Let me tell you, Mary, what's so funny about your Facebook site. So once we kind of connected and all that stuff, so I joined Pajamas and Coffee on Facebook. And I remember when I first joined, it looked like to me it was about like 120 or whatever people. So then I go on there today to put the link that, you know, your show was going to be on for everyone to listen. It's up to almost like 600 people now. I was like, wow, in a matter of, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, it jumped from 100 to 600. So certainly you've got getting a huge following on Facebook. So tell everyone what Pajamas and Coffee is about that.
Okay. I'm a writer. My job in the rest of the 364 days of the year, besides Halloween, is that I'm a writer. Yeah, and my personal humor blog that I write 3 times a week is pajamasandcoffee.com. And pajamasandcoffee.com is just a blog, and it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday I write. And right now what's on the blog is my Halloween post. So you can read about, you know, what some of the background of why I like Halloween and different things. But I pretty much just talk about, you know, being a mom. I have 4 kids, and kind of just day-to-day. When I was growing up, Irma Bombeck was one of my favorite writers. And why I liked her was that she would just make stuff that happens in day-to-day life funny. I mean, it happens to all of us. We can all connect with it. And so that's kind of the vibe that I try to have. And I named it Pajamas and Coffee because I write it while I'm wearing my pajamas and I'm drinking my coffee. Yeah, so that people can kind of chill out and go there and maybe laugh. And that's what I love when my readers, you know, send me messages and stuff just saying that thanks for the laugh today, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's kind of just like a way for, I just think our society needs to lighten up a little bit. And so I try to put a little bit of the funny on there a couple times a week.
Well, and if anyone is on Facebook and you want to join, then again, all you do is just search Pajamas and Coffee, and trust me, you'll see all the information that will come up there, and you can join as well. But it was something that a post that was on there that's down now on Pajamas and Coffee. It looked like it was so much fun. It looked like it was you and a group of women in Baltimore. Like you had gotten together for some type of event. That looked like it was so much fun. I was like, oh, I wish I could have been there to be a part of that. I'm like, I don't know these women yet, but I really wish I could be there because it looked like it just looked like it was so much fun.
It was fun, just having a girls' night out. I mean, we just don't get to have that much fun, and I think that's why I have so much fun with my Halloween party. With, you know, when you're a mom, and, or just in the world, we're so busy, and it's just nice to be able to kind of hang out and have fun. And that was a group of mom bloggers in Maryland, so all of us are moms, and we all blog. And it was nice to meet them in person because blogging can be really kind of isolated, and
right.
So it's nice to meet other people that do what you do.
In person, yeah. And
yeah, in person.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's I don't know if you find this, but as a television reporter, a news anchor, when I you talk to someone on the telephone and then you go to whatever place you're going to meet them and interview them, and then sometimes when you see them in person speaking on the phone, it's like, oh man, you know, they don't match or look the way that you thought that they would look. So it is always interesting when you get a chance to meet someone in person versus, you
right.
know, blogging or speaking with them over the phone or emailing each other back and forth on the internet.
Absolutely, right.
Now, are your I'm just assuming that your kids are always excited about this whole Halloween thing that's going
oh.
on. They're probably popular in the neighborhood, are they?
They are, because all the kids that are in their classes and stuff recognize them as the kids that live in the Halloween house, and everybody just calls it the Halloween house.
Ooh.
I mean, that's just kind of the general name of it around the town. And, you know, all the school buses go by here in the morning, so, you know, I know the kids
Aww.
Are having fun checking out the house. And then on Halloween night, we have a whole haunted graveyard that the kids can go through if they're not too scared. I try to have it that if they want to get their candy on the porch steps, then I'm sitting there and I'll give it to them. But if they want to be scared, then they can go up our driveway, which is full of everything from fog machines to strobe lights to animated this and that and a full-size coffin and you name it.
So,
yeah, the
okay.
kids have fun.
Okay, Mary, so I'm giving you another assignment. I've already given you one about I want to see the pictures in the costume contest.
Yes. So
the next assignment is you've got to take video now and put it on one of your sites, especially at nighttime, and show us what that the driveway looks like, because that looks like it's awesome. So you've got fog lights and everything?
Oh, yeah, we've got, you name it, we've got fog and it's just animated gravestones and, you know, pretty much anything there is. And what I've tried to do is another good budget tip for Halloween is I try to buy stuff after Halloween. So,
good
you
idea.
Know, that because I can't afford it, you know, when it's out. It's too much
uh-huh.
money and so forth.
Much,
but
yeah.
when the stores want to get rid of it, they really want to get rid of it because
yeah.
the Christmas stuff is coming in. And so they mark stuff down, and I've gotten stuff 90% off, 75 to 90% off after Halloween. So, you know, I always kind of scope out the stores that have some things I might like to get, and then I wait until after Halloween and buy them for the next year.
For the next year, yeah, that is a good idea. I think a lot of people do that for Christmas, because I do that for Christmas to buy things and then save it for the next year. But I have to tell you, I've never really thought about doing it that much for Halloween. I think more people do that for Christmas than they do other seasons. So that is very much definitely a really good tip. Well, last thing. Oh, we got one other thing to talk about, then I'll let you go. You made an appearance, on ABC. So tell us what that was about and your experience there.
Oh, that was just really fun. I mean, what was cool was somehow they discovered my blog. I don't know. So, you know how it is on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. People just link to stuff. And somebody must have linked to, or they were looking for back to school blog posts, and they found the blog post that I wrote about back to school. And so the ABC producer called me. It's Juju Chang's show called Moms Get Real that she does for ABC News Now. And they asked me to come on the show and talk about, because I'm very much of a, what I say, you know, cut the cord, mom. I'm not a helicopter mom. I don't believe in kind of micromanaging our kids' lives. So they wanted somebody with that perspective of, you know, letting your kids be independent enough to get on the bus in the morning and
right.
you don't have to follow the bus to the school kind of thing. Right. So it was a lot of fun, and it was just really exciting to go to the studio and have, you know, the makeup guy do my makeup when he's usually doing, you know, Barbara Walters makeup and stuff.
Right.
And so it was a really fun experience. And Dave, you know, invited me to come back and for future shows, and I would look forward to doing that because it was a lot of fun.
Well, I have to say, I've every single television station that I have worked for has always been an ABC affiliate in the Midwest, on the and as well as on the East Coast, and I have never in my life had anyone do my makeup. So I've always had to do my own makeup. So I'm a little jealous that they
well, wait, here's the funny thing. They told me to do my own makeup and hair, and so I went to my local, you know, hair salon. They did my hair for me. And my friend, who's really good at makeup, who actually did my makeup for that Evil Queen costume that's on my Halloween site, creativehalloween.net. She just likes doing makeup. So I had her do my makeup for TV, and then I went in there, and it just so happened that their makeup guy was around, or they looked at me and were like, oh, God, you know, let's try and help this girl out or something. And so
makeup.
And they're like, yeah, oh, my God. So he just basically did, like, this thing, and he kind of did this, like, not so you don't have the glare, I guess, and I have got dark circles under my eyes, so he got rid of the dark circles. I mean, he just worked his makeup magic, and you know, maybe it was under 5 minutes. I mean, it was very fast, and I just was, you know, just melting
it
into the
hair. It is very much a, if you've never had that and have been on television before, it is very, it's kind of a fun experience. And the reason I know about that, because that was something that you wrote on Pajamas and Coffee, and there's a picture of you there when you were on set and everything, which is pretty kind of cool for people to read behind the scenes. But what happens with us is that as reporters and news anchors, we have a consultant that come to the television stations, and they basically sit down and they take our tapes. It can be a little bit intimidating and nerve-wracking, but they sit there with you and they go over all of our shows and they say, okay, Victoria, you know, you're really good in this area, but you need improvement over here. I didn't really like that. I didn't really like the way that you said that, or, you know, this color just is not working for you. I'm not really liking this makeup that you're wearing. You know, you may want to try this. So what they do is once or twice a year they will bring a professional makeup artist in, and we're all assigned a time slot, which is normally a little over an hour, and we go there and they, you know, kind of sit down and show us, you know,
that's cool,
you know, what the new makeup is. So so that they actually do for us, but then we're on our own to actually, you know, put the makeup and stuff on before we go on air. But I was going to say, definitely, I'm sure their makeup artist probably did put some anti-shine on you, because, as you know, those lights are very, very bright.
Right,
really,
right.
Really bright, yeah. And if you don't have that, it's sort of like a light diffuser makeup that we use. So if you don't put that on there, man, you talk about glowing on TV. It wouldn't even be, like, funny to see what you would look like without that stuff. So I'm sure they probably put some of that on there.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Cool.
And what you just described about having, you know, somebody sit down and they kind of pick apart your stuff. I mean, that's, as a writer, the comparison for me would be that's what an editor does. You know, you turn in your thing and then it's their job to sit there and say, well, you know, you were too wordy here, or you should have done this or that. And that's kind of why I started blogging, because I'd worked for editors for so many years that I was like, you know, I just need to get to have my voice be my voice without having it be watered down.
Sure.
By an editor. And so I've gotten very spoiled by blogging. I mean, I was a print writer for 15 years, and definitely my new favorite thing in the world is blogging as a format, because you're basically deciding what you're putting out there without.
Yeah, the content, which is one thing that I love about my show At Home with Victoria. I still do news, and that's my thing, but, you know, this content is my own. I don't have to sit in a morning meeting with someone and they decide for me what I'm going to do, and it may be something that I really don't want to do anyway, or probably there's probably something out there better worth doing, but for whatever reason, you've got, you know how that goes. So
yeah, it's very liberating to be your own editor.
It is very much so. You can say what you want. You can schedule things, your time. You can, you know, basically pick and choose who you want to be on. And especially in my field of television, you know, one reason why I wanted to do At Home with Victoria was to mainly focus on people like yourself, nonprofit organizations, women issues, was that, you know, we got into these stories and then you guys would only, you know, people would only end up getting 30 seconds on the news.
Right.
But I conducted an interview that's 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and all of that tape just basically gets erased over for the next interview. And I always thought, you know, man, it's such a waste because a lot of these organizations can use this information on their websites just to promote whatever it is that they're doing. So that, and I always said, you know, if I can ever do that or come up with my own format that's not going to cost a lot of money, I would love to do that, which is how I kind of came up with doing this, which I really, really enjoy. Because I get to talk to cool people like you. So.
No, it's been a lot of fun.
I know. Well, before I let you go, I'm just going to let everybody again know that you can go to my website. The link to Amazon is there. The link to Pajamas and Coffee is there, as well as the link to Creative Halloween is there. And again, if you have time and you want to come back after all the Halloween stuff is done, it would be fun if you came back on, even for about 30 minutes, and bring the folks on that won, and we can all have a powwow and chat together over the telephone. I can get as many as 5 people on the phone at one time and all of us talking, like those nightly news talk shows where everyone's talking at the same time. So
yeah, that's great. It would be a lot of fun, and I'll make sure to do my homework and get the costume winner photographs up on my website as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm being a little biased because I'm nosy and I want to see that, but I really definitely do think that would be something that
all actually, just friend me on, if we get to be friends, if we're friends on Facebook, you can look at my album from last year, which is all in all the costumes. So that would be good. Everybody just go friend me on Facebook and then they can look at.
Right, there you go. Yeah, just friend her on Facebook. I'm telling you, go on Facebook, search Pajamas and Coffee. You'll see her and all of us there. So, but any event, Mary, thank you so much for joining us. I do appreciate you taking the time out of your Saturday to talk about the Halloween party and give us tips. And you come back and visit anytime.
Thank you, Victoria. I appreciate your time, and thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. Again, everyone, that was Mary McCarthy, and she is a blogger, an author, and a mom. She's got a book out there that deals with Halloween and parties and all that stuff. And, again, you can find that information on my website. And her blog is called pajamasandcoffee.com. And also you can friend her on Facebook as well. And I just want to thank everybody for joining us. I want to quickly go in the chat room. I didn't forget about you guys in the chat room, but I was kind of busy looking at some things on the Internet. Goofy is on with us. Goofy, thank you so much for joining us. He is also a host here on Blog Talk Radio as well. We've got a couple of guests in the chat room, guest 1074, guest 1307. I want to thank you for being here. We also have a guest, TK Brooks, is also joining us, and she's saying that she's loving the show. So thank you so much. I appreciate it, as well as Simone. Simone may sound familiar to some of you guys because she's a regular once a month where she comes on with ideas in terms of crafts and papers and all of that stuff. So, again, I want to thank everyone for joining me today. Don't forget, we've got a couple of shows coming up on another author and some other cool topics. So I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.